Hello and welcome to Q5 on GreenBayPackerNation.com. 30 minutes of pure Packers. I'm J.R. Augustine.
And I'm Brady Augustine.
And we're coming off another win, which is a much-needed win, especially as the divisional opponents dropped a couple of games today. So we're pretty pleased about that.
All-around good day in Packerland, yeah.
Yeah. Initial reactions to the game?
Initial reaction to the game, I think that this game, of course, the big story going in was the injuries to our wide receivers, but our defense also missing key players. I think this was one of the best team wins that we've had. I think it's harder in this game to pull out a superstar, but the team played very well together. The other thing in this game, I think we saw a marked improvement in our chances to, if we can get home field during the playoffs, anybody coming to play Green Bay in weather at Lambeau is going to be hard-pressed to be victorious. We played well in what weren't the greatest conditions. It's been a long time since we've seen the team play in rain, as in particular. It was good to see us, especially being able to run the ball. And then Aaron Rodgers with an abbreviated wide receiver core with another highly efficient day. So I liked a lot of what I saw today.
Right. What I was impressed with most, I think, was the fact that, like you said, we were depleted in the wide receiver core, yet we came out of the gates throwing the ball, and we did so fairly effectively against the Browns offense that does a pretty good job. I mean, the Browns, I would not want to be a Browns fan because it's an ugly situation all around, but they have a decent defense. And so, you know, the fact that we didn't stumble too badly against that defense with a depleted wide receiver core was impressive. We all knew going into this game that the Browns were going to key on Jordy Nelson.
They did a good job of it.
Who else did we have?
Right.
And so we knew we were going to have to go to Boykin. Aaron and Boykin were not on the same page last week,
yeah.
But they really, they just kept going to him anyhow, and he did a great job for us today.
You know, there was a lot of talk by all the national people about how, you know, this was going to change Green Bay's game plan without, you know, Jones and Cobb. And we said right up front, after watching Boykin last week, you see the skills that he has. All it takes is for him to settle in, make some correct decisions, and Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers is going to throw to the person that's open based on what the coverage scheme is that he sees. And what he sees happen on the field, it has nothing to do with who's behind it. These are all NFL receivers, and we expected, against a lot of people, for Boykin to have a great day today. And, of course, he did.
Right. Finley also jumped in and was contributing as well quite frequently.
Right, until. Yeah.
Until the loss was in the middle of the fourth quarter that we actually lost him. So
of course, our best, we hope that doesn't result in any major injury. Of course, JerMichael Finley, then he's the one, his son, saw him get hurt, the concussion last time, I think it was.
Right.
And that's a tough thing. And then to see him have to get carted off the field the way he was today. So we, of course, hope that there's nothing serious there.
Right. So let's talk about the ring and the finger. We always give out the ring and the finger because, you know, some guys get the ring.
And some guys get the finger.
Absolutely.
And we won't demonstrate.
No. This is a G-rated program, right?
That's right. Sometimes.
So who are you giving the ring to this game?
You know, I am going to bail out, I think, on what we're really supposed to do with this, because I want to give the ring to the entire Packers team. And that is the lamest answer ever. But it goes to what I was saying. Mm-hmm. I think this team, with a lot of our key leaders, psychological leaders, you know, just play-wise, some of our best players, not on the field, rallied together, both offense and defense, in a game that, you know, in years past, when we struggled to run the ball, we would have struggled possibly in a game like this, except for the fact that Aaron Rodgers, again, still efficient even in the weather. So it's hard for me to pick out somebody to really single out. I think this was a team effort. I think they all should be proud of themselves. I mean, you could go with Boykin, obviously, and maybe you will, but I just think there were a lot of guys in there, offense and defense, that played solid games, especially when we're asking a lot of guys that have not seen that much play time. So.
Right. I agree. As a unit, the team did well, both offensively and defensively. They worked together really well in some, you know, pretty tough conditions. And we can talk back and forth about how injuries are just a part of the game. Every mm-hmm. team deals with them every single season, and you get to a point in the season where you've lost a bunch of people, but it doesn't change the fact that it's not easy to not have your number one crew in there, and you lose that
continuity is so right. important to the NFL game.
Right. Yeah. And we didn't really, I mean, we overcame that. I think we missed on a couple of things, but all in all, I think we overcame it. So, you know, I'll buy that. I, of course, would give the ring to Boykin.
Yeah.
For a couple of reasons. One, he had 103 yards and a touchdown
Absolutely.
In this game.
Yeah.
Very much needed when we had a team that was going to key on Jordy Nelson and no other what we would consider superstars in the wide receiver core. Also to that, though, Boykin had difficulty with his routes last week. And then the psychological factor can play into that, where do you come into this game and are you still wondering, am I going to run the routes crisply enough? Am I going to run them? Am I going to make the decisions that Aaron expects me to make? And, you know, because sometimes the quarterback is going to drop back and he's going to be under duress. He's got to release the ball. He's going to release it based on a split decision about what you're probably going to do downfield.
Right, right.
And you have to be able to do that. And so, you know, Boykin came out and really was right on with Aaron. They were in sync, and we needed him to be in sync with Aaron Rodgers today. Made it difficult for the Browns because, you know, they really couldn't then double Boykin and leave Jordy open.
Right.
Because that's a dangerous play to make. So I would definitely have to give my ring to Boykin.
Okay, and of course we do want to note on this at this time also that we do have kind of an honorable mention that we want to give a ring out to, and that's to Brandon Whedon,
who
played better for Green Bay than just about anyone, even on Green Bay's team.
Yeah.
It was a sight to behold.
Brandon
was
the
fun to
best
watch.
Packer player not wearing a yellow helmet.
He sure
today.
Was. You know, I mean, yeah. You talk about throwback. I laughed my butt off. He was so fun to watch today, and I hope that everyone out there listening enjoyed watching Brandon Whedon play as much as I did. I loved it.
Yeah, I wonder, in light of Jay Cutler's injury, if the Bears will possibly pick up Whedon, maybe.
Maybe
you can make a trade.
They could, yeah. They could use, because, you know, the Browns need another. They've had the same quarterback for way too long. So.
Oh, I know. It's been almost a full season now.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, honorable mention ring goes to Brandon Whedon for his just wonderful, delightful antics in today's game.
Yeah, definitely. I've got to give the finger in. You know, hesitate to do this because it's something that you could just, if you had a bad attitude about the refs, you could give it to them every game. But after a couple of poorly spotted balls, you know, the one that Mike threw the red flag on, it was an easy call on the field. They missed it.
Yeah.
And, okay, I'll give you that. A lot of stuff is happening. You're trying to see a lot of stuff at one time. But then, even with the replay, they did not overturn it. It was blatantly, obviously, too short. It was not a first down. And still, they didn't get the call right. The only thing I can think of is the refs were told in this game, listen, the Browns suck, and we got to give them every opportunity we can to win this game.
And of course,
or at least make it entertaining.
Right, and then the refs get to start watching the game, and everyone's fears are confirmed. And they start to actually see Brandon Whedon throw the ball, for crying out loud, and his receivers catch it. And they're like, okay, now we know what the, you know, because they hadn't probably watched all the film up to that point. Oh, it was a comedy of errors.
So I definitely would have to give it to the reffing crew.
Okay. I'm giving the finger to TJ Ward, who buried his helmet, shoulder, whatever you want, into JerMichael Finley. JerMichael, again, in a contract year. The guy is, whether you think his motivation is the contract or not, he's made changes. He made positive changes, and he made a difference in this game, was making a difference in this game. And to see anybody have to get carted off the field and strapped to a board is not what we want to see. Big finger to Ward.
Right, yeah. Finley was going to go down. It was pretty obvious, and I think Ward tried to pull up, but...
I don't think it was a dirty play, but no. I'm not happy with that guy.
Right.
We've had enough of that.
Yeah, all around. I mean, it's that kind of stuff can change the game drastically. Right. We were listening to the pregame show, and they were discussing the players, you know, suing the league for stuff like this, and at some point, the league's going to say... stuff, they're going to have to come up with something where they're going to say, okay, we're going to have to not have as many down linemen, and we're going to go more wide receivers, or they're going to go 7-on-7 or something like that, where they're trying to reduce the number of injuries. Mm-hmm. And we just don't want to see that because, like you say, it's not football anymore.
Yeah, and some of these things are avoidable. And
absolutely.
And they need to start to pull up when necessary, right. To redirect, you know, it one way or another. I know there are times when Newton's laws take over and there's not much that you can do, but they're going to have to find a way, or like you say, that we're going to change the game. The game's right. going to have to then change. And I don't think any of us want to really see that. So, it's difficult. It's not easy. It's difficult from both sides.
Right. So let's talk about some of the key stats in the game. Not a lot of spectacular stats. I mean, it was kind of a mucky game. Aaron did connect with Jarrett Boykin 8 times, I believe, for 103 yards. And what I was thrilled about, a touchdown.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
he worked his tail off.
And we called it,
too. And he came short by 1 yard, and we felt bad about that.
Of course, we
finished with a touchdown,
uh-huh.
which was the Jordy Nelson touchdown.
Yeah.
So Jordy got the benefit of Boykin's play on that series, and we were pretty thrilled to see Boykin punch one into the end zone, get a touchdown under his belt, and he certainly deserved it because he worked his tail off, and he was really crisp on his routes, and he was there when Aaron needed him. He was getting separation, and he was making plays.
Yeah, he got his Lambeau leap. He worked for it. He put in good work today, really mm-hmm. good work, and you love to see that kind of thing happen. So, yeah, absolutely. Of course, the most important stat, we won the game. Again, this puts us, you know, in a very good position. This is where we had been saying, you know, that there is no panic. It's not panic time. You know, we got off to a little bit of a rocky start. This next couple of games, you know, the Vikings, and then I think the Bears to follow, those are going to be crucial because, obviously, because they're division games. But at the same time, we're going to be missing some key players. We've mm-hmm. got some people we're not going to have back yet, and we've got to win those games anyway. Right. So, winning is important.
Mm-hmm. Eddie Lacy had 82 yards. I think part of the reason he didn't reach the 100 yard mark was because we came out of the gates on the first drive and didn't hand off the ball once, which surprised me. In some regards, I mean, I'm sure that they were playing to the fact that we have a depleted wide receiver core, and the Browns were probably expecting us to try and lean on our run. But so you know, there was he earned 0 yards in the first drive, that reduced it down. In a sloppy game, he generated 82 yards in rushing, and mm-hmm. He had 4+.
He was
yards per carry.
Just with the doctor orders. Kind of, and we had a couple of long, and this is what I liked about today's running game. We had a couple of third and longs that were run for first downs.
Mm-hmm.
A couple.
We had a rushing touchdown.
Had a rushing touchdown. We love to see these things. This is good. Good bodes well for us down the line. Right. And again, if we need to score quickly, we're still built to do that.
Right.
But we talked about this. I don't expect, we had talked, you know, for years that the Packers are going to be this kind of 30, they're going to be scoring in the 30 point range all the time. Today, actually, we did score a lot through the air. But I expect down the road for us, because we're going to do more clock management, we're going to spend more time on the field before we score, I wouldn't be surprised if our average points don't go down. But our wins continue to be there, and that's important.
Right. If you're generating yardage on the ground and you're chewing up the clock,
your
point totals are going to be less.
I think we're 75% on third red zone efficiency in this game. I liked what I saw there. We've had our struggles where we were a little bit anemic when it came to the compressed field inside the 20, and we did some good things today. Mm-hmm. A split day for Mason Crosby, but we are seeing that there are going to be more opportunities for him, and so far he's responded fairly well. Mm-hmm. So good to see that as well.
Right, and you know, when it's raining, that makes it difficult for a kicker. You not because of the conditions on the football or in the air so much, but when the field gets soggy. You know, you saw how many times receivers and defenders slipped. Mm-hmm. Your plant is so important in your kick. And I'm not sure if that's went wrong when he tried that 52-yarder. That was a long kick.
Uh-huh.
And he just doinked it. I think he doinked it off one of the uprights.
It was inches from in. Yeah. Yeah,
one of the most alarming stats for me was I was very excited about our third down conversion rate going into the half, because we were right around the 80% conversion rate, and then after the half, we progressively dropped down to eventually have a 54% conversion rate on third down. Now, I haven't done the math and to find out what the conversion in the second half was that brought it down, but if you're going from 80 down to 54, you've got a pretty low third down conversion percentage in the second half, and we need, especially in the second half, we need to start converting on third down and methodically working the ball downfield. We're already out to a fast start. We're at a lead, which we were. And you got to keep getting those first downs and keep chewing that clock in the second half and get out of the game with a win.
Yeah, we did not play as good a second half. I mean, we had our quarters where we really struggled, and some of that you got to give some credit to Cleveland's defense. The Browns did some good things, but then there were times where we stumbled. We shot ourselves in the foot a few times with penalties. You don't like to see penalties when we would have had first downs. We got to clean some things up. Overall, this is a team that they can ground and pound. We can do it. We can do it now. Here's what I loved, and I guess this isn't really a key stat. Well, it goes to a key stat. We had a ground touchdown. We talked about that earlier. And did you notice all the linemen came up to Lacy, and they were so pumped. Our linemen,
they like
love
blocking for
that kid. And if you didn't get a chance to see the piece, I think the NFL Network did a piece on Eddie Lacy and what he came out of, and with Hurricane Katrina losing his home, mm-hmm. his parents struggling. That guy he's a great story. Look it up. It's worth looking up.
I'll see if I can locate him, put a link in the show notes.
Sure, link it, and it is worth watching. He's a grounded guy, and I wish him the best, and he's been a fantastic asset to our team. And like I say, it's just so fun to see, because those linemen are
they're
waiting
fun.
For those. Yeah, and they just love knocking somebody in the teeth. We're pulling guys, we're linemen, and they're having a good time. Yeah.
Right.
And it could be important. It's not just a matter of fun. It's good to see them have success, do what we've needed to do, and that is balance out our offense, but all at the same time, they seem to be having a great time doing it.
Mm-hmm. Now, granted, the Browns don't have what you would call an elite offensive unit. They have some weapons, but you wouldn't call it an elite. But still, I was impressed with our defensive effort. The Packers had 26 first downs in this game, and the Browns only had 17 first downs.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's that kind of stuff you see out of your defense, you're going to win games. I mean, that either one of two things is happening if your team is not getting a lot of first downs. Either they're not moving the ball, or they're striking scores from 50 yards out, and the odds of that happening are pretty slim. So that you see numbers like 17 first downs, that's just not even close to winning a game.
No.
Which it wasn't. I mean, 13 points for the Browns,
Yeah, yeah, and some in garbage time. I think our defense, you know, the stats kind of, we got a little hurt in the second half as well. Toward the end of the game, we were kind of getting gashed a little bit, but part of that, I think, is, you know, us playing a little bit of a prevent kind of a strategy.
Right.
We didn't have the sacks. I hate it. Okay, how about this? How much did you hate the call on A.J. Hawk for face mask when he almost had that sack? He missed it, and
yep.
Man, I mean, stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, the way he reacted, he almost reacted as if he actually knew he hit the face mask, but boy, it didn't look like it hit much of anything,
man,
there.
So weak.
Yeah. It was a weak call.
It's Jeff
Triplett's
crew, though, so you can't expect anything.
Yeah, and I mean, granted, I understand where it's coming from. If you get a hold of someone's face mask and you're flying in like that, you can debilitate them for their life, and so it's dangerous. But come on, you have to be able to make that call, and it has to be a reasonable call. I mean, 15 yards in an automatic
it's
first
a serious
down.
Call. That yeah, and I don't want to talk out of both sides of my mouth either. That I'm upset with Ward because he hit, and then I'm okay with AJ. I didn't think he moved his head at all. I didn't see his head move because of it. That's what's dangerous is twisting the head, and that is what the rule states is a face mask. You know, of course, we could look at it over and over and over again, slow it down, whatever. Mm-hmm. I thought it was sticky tack.
Right. Yeah. Looks like the total yardage we had 357 yards total. That's 104 yards rushing, which, of course, we've discussed as, you know, part of that was Aaron scrambling, which is nice,
mm-hmm.
Which, of course, brings up one dilemma that we had with the Browns. With Whedon scrambling up the middle, he is not a mobile quarterback, and we let him squeeze out, and it just brought back visions of horror of Kaepernick or Russell Wilson. You know,
we've got to
collapse the pocket more evenly. And I understand some of these guys they're pumped. They're getting their chance to show that they belong in this league after playing behind our superstars for how long. And so they're going all out, but you still have to collapse that pocket evenly to avoid someone picking up a bunch of yardage on you. And granted, again, it was Whedon. He didn't even make the first down, did he?
I think on one he did. I mean, there were a couple times, but yeah. Again, it's just playing disciplined football, and I think that's something they'll correct. They got film to watch. These guys got some, you know, great time on the field, and a lot of them responded real well. But yeah, you're going to kind of expect a few of those breakdowns once in a while.
Let's check some of the individual stats. Aaron Rodgers was 25 for 36. He had a 69% completion rate, which is good. Mm-hmm. Won't complain about that. Certainly much better than what Whedon demonstrated. Could not believe the number of times he overthrew receivers. I mean, like, when you're talking overthrowing, you're not throwing. We're not talking he threw 10 yards too far downfield. We're talking he threw 10 yards over the top of the receiver's head.
And then when he hit him in the hands, the receivers dropped it.
Yes.
It was so fun.
It was ugly. Yeah, and there was all that talk about the weather and how
the
conditions are going to make it difficult to pass. Well, it's more difficult to pass in those conditions, but, you know, we've played in
I got
rain
one question.
And snow. And
did Green Bay not play in the same conditions the Browns did?
Yeah.
Oh, cop out. Yeah, it was so fun to watch. I was just rolling the whole time.
Eddie Lacy had 5 catches, one of which I was really impressed with. The one-handed catch, picking it off the ground.
Down off the carpet.
Boy, if Eddie Lacy's got hands that can do that, man, he's just become such a weapon. You know, when we first drafted Eddie and I was looking at some of the highlights, I was really impressed with the fact that being such a big running back, he was still able to make a shift sideways and get back north and south very quickly. And that's something you need to do in the NFL. You have to get sideways to find the hole a lot of times, especially in the zone blocking scheme. A lot of times they're reading how the defender is going and they're just going with the flow of the defender. You have to be able to make a quick adjustment to where the hole is and then get north and south fast. He always did that very well, all of the highlights I saw, but there wasn't a lot of highlights about his ability to catch out of the backfield. And he's shown that he can really do it all. I haven't seen us use him a whole lot in pass protection. But
he's had a few, he's had a few gaffes in pass protection, but you know, rookies are gonna, you know,
right.
But I think he's serviceable. Yeah, I think I suspect we'll see more of a screen game, maybe on, you know, those second and long situations than we have in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of wonder why we haven't used it that much yet. We did a better job in the preseason executing that screen game. I wouldn't be surprised if down the road, closer to the end of this season, we don't see this team use a screen game more often than they do right now.
Right. Yeah, which would be fun. I mean, we used to effectively use the screen game, and it was exciting when the quarterback was generally Brett tossing it out to Dorsey Levens or Edgar mm-hmm. Bennett, and he just, you can see it developing while the ball's in the air, mm-hmm. and you just get all excited before the running back even has the ball yet. This is going to be big.
Mm-hmm.
And we could see a resurgence of that. Those are fun to watch.
Yeah, you know, linebackers are getting pretty savvy to the screen game, too. Mm-hmm. I think we're doing a good job on defense, defending against the screen as well. You see AJ has a real nose for it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that can be points on the board with a guy like Lacey back there.
Yeah, so we've touched on it a little bit. Let's shift gears and talk about the NFC North and our upcoming opponents. We are now in possession of the lead in the division. We were discussing kind of the fact that the Lions beat the Bears, and that we would win any tiebreakers in that. But you know, we're in possession, sole possession of the lead now, with our 4-2 record. We're coming up against Minnesota and another division rival, another big division win. It would be a really valuable win for us. Not as valuable as like the following week against the Bears,
mm-hmm.
because
yeah,
we don't need to push
up.
Minnesota back any.
Mm-hmm.
But and again, we're starting to get into that. You know, when we start to get into our division rivals, we start to talk about the fact that the division rivalry can just turn the whole what we expect on its ear. You know, we do not expect the Minnesota Vikings to stand a chance against us. And yet...
Well, they have Josh Freeman.
They have Josh Freeman now, yeah.
Dangerous, dangerous waters.
But, you know, Greg Jennings, we saw it with Brett Favre. We really outclassed the Vikings that year, mm-hmm. and there was that intense desire to beat his old team, and they prevailed. We've got Greg Jennings has been talking smack all off season long.
He's been pretty quiet since the games began.
Yeah, right. True.
Hasn't had a lot to say, Mr. Ofer.
He's going
to
come back. You know, he's going to come back wanting to put one over on us.
Mm-hmm.
Adrian Peterson, we've always had trouble containing him.
We haven't been as good against the run as we are this year.
Right. And you know, and again, so you know,
something to see.
Again, I don't expect the Vikings are going to give us any grief in this coming game. But mm-hmm. you just never know. They hate us.
That's
and they
right.
hate us bad.
Yeah, you can't overlook any team when it's an NFC North opponent. Because they do. They've got Adrian Peterson. They've got Greg Jennings.
Mm-hmm.
And even, I forget the old quarterback they used to have. I'm going to forget his name right now. But if you can just have a pocket quarterback back there that can throw the ball accurately, that can be a dangerous team because mm-hmm. they've got a good run game.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got Greg Jennings. They've got some weapons. Yeah, we got overlooked. However, I will say this. I'm very happy we're playing the Vikings and then coming back to the Bears.
Yeah.
Because now our guys that are kind of filling in are going to have another week against a lesser opponent to get more savvy, get
right.
more experience under their belts, more snaps under their belts. And that, I think, is a better scenario than having to come up against the Bears right away next week.
Right, and gives us a chance to get some guys back,
mm-hmm.
even if James Jones is
yeah.
not ready for the Vikings.
Right, he should be ready for the Bears.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's that. And like you say, we get another game under the belt for some of these young guys that are stepping in at wide receiver. Well, James Jones comes back. Now we have Jordy Nelson and James Jones, our 1 and 2 receivers. We also have a 3 receiver that... that is very experienced, mm-hmm. in sync with Aaron Rodgers,
yeah,
and on
enough.
The same page. So, yeah,
right.
You know, it'll help a lot.
He's a good receiver. Boykin's a good receiver. I think he's going to do fine.
Yeah.
I think he's going to do fine. He's in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the right place. Not that I don't want Randall Cobb back as soon as he can be healthy, but I want him healthy first, and we'll eat through. So.
Right, and, you know, I think we have to be realistic about Randall Cobb. I would be surprised if he came back.
I expect to see him. I expect to see him down the road, but we'll see. Yeah, we'll see. It's all going to depend on how he heals, and then even if your injury is healed, you still have to kind of get back into playing shape, and there's a lot mm-hmm. of hurdles in between now and that time. So, so Boykin's going to be playing a role for the future here. Yeah. So
Vikings next,
mm-hmm.
Chicago the following week on Monday night matchup against the Bears, and they're always tough against us, because it's just been a lifelong rivalry for mm-hmm. these two teams. And we go back way, way back with the Bears. Cutler pulled a groin or strained an eyelash or something in this game that put him out. So, you know, Cade McCown,
yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
Who cares, yeah.
He's one of those washed-up brown quarterbacks that the Bears picked up. He stepped in. I don't know how long they might keep Jay out. You're talking a groin pull similar to a hamstring pull. You're really trying to decide, well, you want to give it enough rest so that it gets fully healed, because if you go back when you're feeling okay, it's really easy to re-injure it. Jay's never been a real mobile quarterback, so it's not like...
He's never been a real tough one either, so if it tweaks him again, I'm sure he'll be limping to the sidelines, even if it's the NFC Championship game, as far as I can tell.
Right. So, although that would be the game that is going to be the tougher of the two.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to come up against a much more stout defense against the Bears.
I would assume Jay will be back. Jay will be playing in that game. He's not going to miss that one unless there's something serious, more serious than we know. Yeah. It's going to be a couple really, really big weeks for Green Bay.
Right. And hopefully we can come out with a couple wins.
Yeah.
Keep moving forward in the division.
Keep going.
But in the meantime, of course, we're going to meet Minnesota next week.
Yep.
Between now and then, definitely check out GreenBayPackerNation.com. Check out our humor site. You just wrote that article about Brandon Marshall pulling Jay Cutler's groin.
And then there was something magical about it, that cheese article, because then I hear today come across my NFL app that Jay Cutler pulls his groin, and I asked if Brandon Marshall did it. I fully expect to get a call from Cutler's lawyers this week.
So if you want more ridiculous stuff like that, definitely check out cheesenewswire.greenbaypackernation.com. Connect with us on Twitter and send us a shout out. That's @PackerNation. We're also pretty active on Facebook. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/GreenBayPackerNation.
Keep in mind, after another big win, that the Lions are still irrelevant, the Vikings still wear purple, and the Bears still suck. So until next time, here on Q5 and Green Bay Packer Nation, stay proud.